Good evening. Welcome back to another episode of the Balticon 46 wrap-up from Swimming Cat Studios. I'm your host, Doc Coleman. Today we've got a panel from May 27th at 2 p.m. This is the first of our Sunday panels, and this is Galley Table Live. This episode features an all-crew panel from Flying Island Press. Conning the panel is writer and Flying Island Press editor Scott Roche. Filling out the table is the Pirate Gypsy Queen number one, Laura Nicole, and of course, the galley table stowaway, me. In this episode, we talk about, it's galley table. We talk about writing and other geeky stuff, and who knows where we'll end up.
Well, let's go ahead and start this show.
Yay!
For those of you that don't know, and I think most of you do, Galley Table is a podcast put on by Flying Island Press. Flying Island Press is a science fiction fantasy e-zine publisher, and I'm getting a little bit of feedback, I think.
Yeah.
How's that? Better?
I like that.
Yeah.
Better? Okay. So we are an e-zine publisher. And we have Flagship as our primary e-zine, and Galley Table is our podcast where we talk about geek culture, writing, you name it. We've probably talked about it.
We're going to.
We do interviews. I am Scott Roche. You can find my fiction at scottroche.com. You can find our fiction for Flagship, flyingislandpress.com/flagship.
And I'm Laura Nicole, and you can find my fiction at gypsylaura.com and my article, Please Spare Your Tribbles, at flyingislandpress.com/flagship.
There you go. And hopefully joining us soon will be Doc the Stowaway Coleman.
He's being a bad stowaway.
The story there is our second or third podcast episode, the crew didn't show. I was the only person in the crew that showed, and I tweeted out that I was looking for somebody to interview, and Doc came on, and he never left. So
maybe he jumped overboard.
And one of the mantras on our see?
You found the stowaway.
You almost lost your stowaway position.
Nope.
Oh my god, that is amazing, and I want it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Nutty has come in with this beautiful steampunk machinery.
It's a Tesla sniper rifle.
Yes, and I think I probably am having an orgasm for it.
Wait. That's a mighty quiet
orgasm.
Do you
want to touch it?
Oh my god, yes.
I like the direction this is heading.
Welcome to another edition of Galley Table After Dark.
Except it's not dark yet.
There's kind of a panel going on.
It's always dark in our hearts.
Well, maybe yours. My soul is black.
Black as sin.
Black would be dark.
So we were going to talk about Doc. But he showed up. So instead, I think we're going to talk about science fiction conventions, our best and worst experiences at them. It doesn't have to necessarily be this one, although for me, this is in fact the only science fiction and fantasy convention I've been to. Laura, what's your con experience as far as ones that you've been to?
So Balticon and a SCA event called Burka, which we call BurkaCon because we do the same thing. We take over a hotel and a bunch of people in Renaissance wear traipse around and go to the Viking market. It's fun.
Very nice. Doc?
Actually, Balticon's the only sci-fi fantasy con I've been to, so...
So, Laura,
we're looking at you.
That's right. We will be seeking.
You're looking at me anyway.
We'll be seeking audience feedback at some point as well. So for me, probably the best con experience I had. If you know me, you know I'm a J.C. Hutchins fanboy, and the very first BaltCon I came to, I walked into the hotel bar and he recognized me. And my feet didn't touch the ground the rest of that night. So that was easily the best experience for me. Getting recognized by your by your heroes and by your idols is kind of cool.
Well,
And then the same night, I met Laura, and she squeed over me, so she had a fanboy, fangirl moment.
I was going to say, think my outfit definitely proves that I'm female.
Yeah, I
don't think that's enough proof. I think we need independent verification.
Tom?
Tom. I can neither confirm nor deny the existence of...
Tom, I hate to say this, but we're not taking your word for it.
Yeah.
No.
Whoa. Now we need to know how you are equipped to vouch.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, see. It's not good.
Disclosure agreements.
We're just going to have to verify for ourselves. But that's another panel.
So best con experience.
Oh, God. Yes, it was the same night. That same night when I met Scott Roche and I was in heaven. And then the mojitos started.
Oh, mojitos.
But before the mojitos started, I also met Pip Ballantyne and T. Morris. And Pip said, "You're the one that commented on Weatherchild." I said, "Yes, I am. I love you." And I also met P.G. Holyfield, and I was like, "I have no idea who you are. I'm looking for Patrick McLean."
Okay.
PG and I became very fast friends after that. I have visited him several times. But yes, my first night pre-Balticon was my best con experience. And then, you know, every con since then has been better and better and better. And when people actually showed up for my reading last year, I was so nervous. And I'm talking to Pip and T outside and I'm going, "I can't do this. I can't read in front of people. It's my own work. I'm usually just facing a microphone and it's fine." And Pip turns to me and she goes, "Laura, you can do this." Takes me downstairs by the hand and she makes me stand outside the room. "Okay, this is it. I will be there for the first 10 minutes and then I have to run to my reading." Okay. And so she shoved me in there, shut the door, and there I was, reading to a whole bunch of people, some of whom I knew and some of whom I didn't, which was very interesting. So those are my two best con experiences.
Nice. Doc?
Okay. My very first Balticon experience, the very first person I met at Balticon. We pull up outside the hotel, walk in, there's a line at registration. I go up and get in the end of the line. The guy in front of me has got this bald head and these amazing spiky flanged boots. And I look at this guy and I say, "Hello, Howard." And Howard Taylor, who was the artist guest of honor for his webcomic Schlock Mercenary, he turns around and says, "Hi, Doc. How's it going?"
Wow.
Howard had been talking on Twitter previously about doing a tweet up at Balticon. And earlier that week, I had been responding back to him and said, "So when did you ever settle for time for the tweet up?" So we've been talking back and forth on Twitter. And I get here and he's the first person I run into. He recognizes me immediately from my Twitter avatar. And we ended up, you know, after we checked in, we went out to dinner. You know, we had like a group of six folks that went out to dinner. So I got some serious one-on-one time with one of the guests of honor. That was my first Balticon 2 years ago. Let's see. Last year, of course, was when we first did Galley Table here.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Ben Bova. Yeah.
Bova.
And that was my moment of squee for that year because I was the first one of the crew that got an invite. And that was the first time I had actually thrown my name into the ring for being on the new media panel. And the rest of these guys had just done an interview
Alan Dean Foster.
With Alan Dean Foster, and they didn't tell me.
Zach wanted to keep that one all for himself. I almost didn't get to be on that podcast.
And so, my computer shut down midway, and so I only got to hear the first half of it.
So I wanted to get him back. And when I got my invite, and I'm looking on the panel and seeing that Ben Bova was the guest of honor, and it's like, he's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Scott's going to be there, whether he's got an invite or not. If you know, I said, you know, let me put in a panel. Let us ask for Ben Bova to be part of our panel. And they bought it. So, so I got to sit down and host Galley Table with Ben Bova as our guest.
Yep.
And
it was got kissed by him. That was my, I never want to watch this chica. Oh, wait, I have to.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's the thing I love about this con in particular. Again, I haven't been to many. I actually have been to a small local con in North Carolina. Is you meet these people, whether it's the guest of honor or your favorite podcaster or author, and there you figure out that they're people just like you. And when I came for my first Balticon 4 years ago, I was a fan. I mean, that's it. I mean, I had a podcast which wasn't very good. It got better, and but I was just here as a fan, and it inspired me to be where I am now, working for this great publisher, writing my own stuff and getting it published. So that is, I guess, also, although on a much larger arc, a great con experience for me. But I'm talking to this gentleman over here, Uncle Monster.
Uncle Monster. Hi.
That's Uncle Monster.
He has said the same thing, that this con has inspired him to write, and I love that. I mean, that just makes me tingle in all kinds of naughty places.
One of the things I really like about a lot of the community that we have here is, especially that are active in the Twitterverse, is that not only are they promoting their own stuff, but they want to help you as well. The way that Balticon ended for me last year was, it was me, VG Ford, Pip and T and a couple of other people, and we all decided that we wanted to go to lunch before we made our drive, and God knows that I needed it because we were driving back to New Hampshire. And so we're sitting there and we're talking, and T is saying to Val Ford, "So you're working on your writing and you are going to get it done. I swear I'm going to make you get it done." And then he turns to me and goes, "You're next."
Nice.
Okay. I'm going to be doing voice acting, but okay. So, and just like the personalities of the people and how they make it so encouraging for newer people to get their stuff out, because you don't know who is going to be, you know, the next success story with untapped talent. So.
And the community is very welcoming to newcomers, but you got, once you talk and you start telling people what you want to do, you'll get encouragement. You may even get a helping hand. You got to follow through. People will give you the benefit of the doubt when you start, but if you want to keep getting that helping hand, you got to follow through. You got to produce.
That's the biggest bit of advice I got from Nathan Lowell. Nathan Lowell is actually a very approachable person. And if you have your bingo card for Galley Table checkpoints, you could check off your Nathan Lowell reference right there.
And I mentioned my naughty bits earlier. So
okay, so the clean tag's gone.
And Laura is looking particularly young and hot today.
She really is.
I hate you guys so much.
That's two.
But I ended up, I saw him on Facebook one day, and I was home and didn't have anything better to do. So I said, "Hey, Nathan, how's it going?" And I ended up talking to him for a good couple of hours. And the biggest piece of advice he gave me was just keep putting stuff out there. That's the only thing that you really need to do, and just make sure that it's good. If you take a hiatus between projects, you know, that's okay. But you need to make sure that your name is consistently out there with new stuff, so people aren't getting bored.
Basically, nothing sells like a back catalog. If you do one thing and you put it out there, next to no one will buy it because, well, you only have one thing out there. Unless you've got a tremendous effort behind it saying, "This is the most fantastic, life-changing work you will ever experience in your life," people won't buy it because, well, you only got one thing. What else have you done?
Yeah.
But even if your first thing doesn't sell, you put the second thing and the third thing and the fourth thing out there. Eventually you put, you know, the umpteenth thing out there, and people will then go and look and see what else you've done. And if they see this body of work, they're more likely to buy any or all of your stuff,
mm-hmm.
just because you're not a flash in the pan. You, it's kind of, it's one of the artifacts of the whole gatekeeper society. It's like the buyer doesn't necessarily know that you're self-publishing, if that's what you're doing. They assume that if you've got six books out, that, you know, the publishers have said, this is a good book, six times. And obviously, since you keep putting them out, they must be getting better.
Yep.
So people are more likely to go ahead and buy your stuff, even if the reality is that you've been self-publishing this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after they buy, then you may get the reviews that will rip you to shreds. And if you've been turning out, you know, lots and lots of crap, you know, you probably deserved it. But, you know, that's the back catalog is what sells.
Yeah. Real quick, anybody want to share with us your favorite con experience? Mr. Keeling.
This is my second BaltCon. And actually, a lot of times, like I mentioned, when you come, it's your first time and you're a newbie and you're a fan, you're very reserved. And last year I was not the kind of person who was willing to interject myself in any conversations, and everybody already had their groupings, it seemed like. And I remember it was Saturday night, and I was feeling extremely homesick, of course, and missed my family. And I met a bunch of people, and people were really nice, of course, but I hadn't really made any connections. And I remember it was 10:30 at night, and I was like, "Should I just go to bed?" You don't go to bed at 10:30 at night on Saturday night at BaltCon. You just don't do it.
Not unless you've been up since 10:30 a.m. the day before.
Yeah, exactly. So I resolved myself to go downstairs, take one last walk around the lounge, shake a couple hands of people that I really admired, and then, you know, just kick off, go to bed. And I went down, and I shook Norm Sherman's hand.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, Norm Sherman, Veronica Jaguer, Abby Hilton, and I ended up talking for hours, and eventually 3 a.m. rolled around, and I was like, this is the greatest experience of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And because everyone that else that we met, and they were introducing me, and we were all talking, and it was changing. It was a very changing thing. So yeah, and this year has just been great. Like I said, every time it just seems to get better.
Yeah,
because you know more people, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. you meet other people. And you learn that they have skills, and then you can talk to them. Oh, really? You know this person? Well, here, let me introduce you to this person, and you know.
Or as likely, it's like, haven't you met such and so? Come on, let me introduce you. And, you know, it's like the gaps in other people don't realize you've got gaps in your network, and when they find them out, they very eagerly fill them.
And for those of you that don't know, this is James Keeling. He's got a very solid podcast, Compensating Controls. If you like technological thrillers, you should check it out.
And gore.
There are a couple of scenes that make it evident that he is a Scott Sigler fanboy.
He's also got a spaceship of ill repute named after him. And not that kind of ill repute.
Anybody else got any con stories they'd like to share?
Actually, I've got one more that I'd like to share.
Oh, go ahead,
Doc. It was from last year. It was the first time I did the Galley Table live. Or not Galley Table. The first time I did the Shrinking Man Project live here at BaltCon. Mm-hmm. I was over in Derby on Monday afternoon. It was the very last thing on the new media track. And it's like, at one point I was happy because I was on the track. I was going to get to do my podcast. And the other point, I was a little disappointed because it was late Monday, which meant that a lot of people would take off early. I figured there wasn't going to be much crowd. So we got started. There was just a handful of folks, and the first thing I asked was, how many people have ever heard of the Shrinking Man Project before? And I think one or two hands came up. So I asked it the other way. How many have never heard of it before? Everybody's hand went up. And it's like, so all these people are here, and they have no clue what they're getting in for. And people kept trickling in during the course of the podcast. And by the time we got to the end of it, it was like standing room. We were having questions going back and forth from the audience to the panel. It was an absolutely great, great time. And I got an ovation at the end of the podcast and was like, holy crap, that was a good show. And then damn batteries died on the recorder. Yeah.
I think I was in charge of packing duty at that point, so I wasn't able to make it, but my roommate was totally there. I think another really good experience last year was when somebody actually recognized me, and I don't even remember who it was. They're just like, I've listened to your stuff on Gypsy Audio. You've done what?
Wait, somebody knows it?
Somebody knows who I am? That's, oh, wow. Okay. And then, so because of that and because of my love for audio, I, you know, pushed through and finally got my audio drama to be a live event as well. Because I thought, well, if Galley Table can do it, why can't I? Mm-hmm. So these two gentlemen are actually going to help me and participate. It's definitely a good cross promotion area. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the only way I was going with it.
Okay. Anybody else have any good stories? Yes, Daddy. Ma'am.
My first BaltaCon, I finally decided to come 3 days before BaltaCon.
3 days.
3 days.
Well, she travels quite a ways.
Yes. And then I was only coming from New York, so it wasn't that far. But, and yes, it was T. Morris that started the push. It was my first con ever.
Damn you, T. Morris, and your interfering ways.
I was feeling very awkward. You know, it's this whole people that you've only known online, and especially with podcasting, you as a listener think, they don't know who I am, but I know who they are, so there's a barrier there. And I had met up with Mark and Cap Made One, and we were talking, and Steve Ely is walking past me, and all of a sudden, comes around, turns around, and goes, green hair, glasses, you're Nuke Joss. And I was like, hey, how do you know who I am?
More importantly, how did he pronounce it correctly?
Well, he didn't.
Okay.
But I can't mispronounce it.
Oh, okay.
But, and I've had several experiences like that. For instance, last year, walking through the dealer's room, and all of a sudden I hear, Nuchus. And I turn around, and there's Nathan Lowell waving me over, you know, and things like that. And last year was the first time that I had somebody come up and say, I listen to your podcast. And I said, no idea who this person is.
Isn't that great?
It is great. So,
Oh yeah, there was one other experience. First BaltaCon, T. Morris and Pip Valentine are great people. I was having a horrible couple days after the con because I was visiting family, and then I hear, hey, we're gonna have a tweet up, and we're gonna do a Nifty Tech blog, tweet all about it, joint podcast. It's like, I want to go. Doc here says, are you still in Virginia? Yes. Yeah. Okay, come on over. And T sends me his address. And so next thing I know, I'm there the next day, and I'm hanging out with Pip Valentine all afternoon. And we pick up Sonic Boom, and we make dinner together, and then there's all these podcasters, yep. And I'm like,
Then I came down with my wife and, mm-hmm. and had dinner, and we ended up down in T's
captain's quarters,
with mics all over the place. It was a coffee table, big coffee table with mics all over the place, and wine.
Lots of wine.
Probably the wine might have been a mistake, but
it made me stay the night. Let's say that much. And it was, I was like, "Hi, I'm a voice actor, and I love you guys." And they kept asking me things, and that podcast never saw the light of day.
No. Unfortunately, T did that for Bird House Rules and talking about the influence of Twitter in the form of tweet-ups. And it was actually some pretty good programming, but then he had a falling out with his publisher, and he kind of killed the podcast. So
that's
yet another casualty of Bird House Rules.
But. One of the things that I love about this con is the level of talent. And I remember, I think it was my first, I think it was the first Balticon, first or second. But anyway, I was walking in the hall and I heard the piano in the, in that corner right there. Mm-hmm. As you come off the lobby, somebody was playing piano, and I come around the corner and Kim, the comic book goddess, was playing piano, and Marnin pulled out his fiddle and or violin. And sorry, I'm from North Carolina. you know, 15 minutes later, people were standing around singing, and I mean, it was one of just impromptu concert, and it blew me away. So just the sheer level of talent that are at these cons is amazing and inspiring.
Yeah, it was your first BaltCon, because that was 4 years ago.
Okay.
That's one of my favorite stories as well.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
So it's just, it's crazy. And getting to know people and working together with them to explore those talents.
Like, this show would never have happened without BaltCon.
No, I mean, we launched Flying Island Press here 2 years ago, and mm-hmm. it's been tremendous. You know, good things come out of this. So I have one less than positive story.
Oh, dear. It's and not now, involving me, right?
Convention nightmares.
There is this rule that I'm sure most of you have heard. You should, I've heard it as the 5-2-1 rule. You should, every day that you're at a convention, get 5 hours of sleep, 2 healthy meals, and 1 shower.
Do they have to be healthy?
Preferably. So that day I had breakfast, so I had 1 healthy meal, I had my shower, I'd had probably less than 5 hours of sleep. The afternoon rolls around, and I hadn't had my second meal yet, and I go into a beer tasting with Thomas
that.
Command Line Gideon and John Taylor Williams and Chris Miller, and you want to talk about some high gravity.
This must have been last year.
Yes.
High gravity beer. Oh,
I experienced
gosh.
Scott. Afterwards.
Ooh. The reason I wasn't there was because they just started me on blood thinners and they said, no alcohol.
So I come down
and
here.
And I said, damn.
I come downstairs after that and I'm sort of wandering around and I run into her and I run into Uncle Monster and I go, you know what, I'll be right back. And I go upstairs and fall into my bed and sleep for the next 12 hours. And that's a bad story because I missed some pretty cool stuff that night, and I determined this year to follow the rules a bit more closely. So it's not just about hygiene, although hygiene is important. If you're going to imbibe, make sure that you do so on a full stomach
and responsibly.
Yes.
And drink water.
Yes.
Drink water.
Lots of water.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Beer is not hydrating.
No.
No. Even though manly men say water in beer.
Yeah.
Beer is water. Beer is life.
Beer is
mostly water.
So any less than positive stories?
Let's see here. I was dealing with some issues physically. The first Balticon I was at, and I was getting ready to go to the Ditched by Kate concert. And anybody who hasn't heard Ditched by Kate... What's wrong with you?
Yes, you must rectify that.
You must rectify that as soon as possible. And I couldn't breathe. So I'm sitting there, and the concert's starting, and I'm sitting on the windows next to the gazebo going, okay, I don't want to go in there and cause a scene, but I want to listen, so I'm just going to sit as close as humanly possible without actually going inside. And then, of course, T. Morris comes outside, and he's like, you okay? You're lying. Do you need anything? Nope. I'm just gonna sit here. But it was really nice that they were concerned, but that was like the most miserable hour and a half that I had throughout the whole con. Then I went to a room party and I was all better.
The power of rum.
The power of Tuaca.
Italian taint juice.
Yes.
Made famous by the Roman legions.
Made famous by B.G. Holyfield.
Yeah. Oh, I'm well, trying to think. Anyway. It's like either the bad things I've expunged them firmly from my memory, or just been focusing so much on the good things. Not having any real nightmare experiences coming to mind, other than just the way that the hotel is laid out. It's like, I've got to go from where to where in 5 minutes? And 2 years ago, some of the panels in Derby, before they put the portable...
Oh, my gosh.
There's one for you. Before they put the portable air conditioning units in...
Back in our day, yeah. They didn't have portable air conditioners in Derby.
Because they were cheap bastards. And you pack in, you know... 50 people in that tiny little room, and you're roasting, and you're up in front. And
does anyone remember the masquerade in that room?
Oh, yeah.
They did the masquerade in Derby.
Yes.
They did.
Yes.
They did.
I remember the new media.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
The new media prom. It's like, we're doing a prom. Where are you going to put us? We'll put you in Derby. It's only the smallest room we've got.
And the hottest.
Oh, and my gosh. Some of the costumes.
Yeah. Oh, they were some beautiful costumes that year. But I think I lost 3 pounds just from the sweat that came off of my body in that room.
Home of Russian roulette.
Nerf Russian roulette. That was interesting. But.
There was that little air conditioning unit right inside the door.
Yes, and it was like people were clustered around it like limpet mines.
And I of course was wearing my kilt, and I would several times I walked over and just sort of draped my kilt over the vent.
Did you have a Marilyn Monroe moment?
People who saw him wouldn't go near that thing for a while.
The air gust was not quite that strong. It was sort of...
See, I don't know what you guys were talking about. I was in a gossamer dress. I was fine.
Yes, she was. More ways
than up top. So this didn't happen at this con, but I have attended one other significantly sized con. It's ACON, which is a big anime convention in Houston, I think, or Dallas, one of the two. Dallas. And it's
Texas. It's all the same.
Pretty much. So it's in two hotels, and there's a breezeway that connects the two hotels. And apparently there are people there that did not have rooms, and they would sleep in the breezeway. And, of course, the breezeway is not – and people would eat in the breezeway. And, of course, the breezeway is not air-conditioned or vented in any way. So
it was less of a breezeway and more of a hobo way.
By the end of the con, you could have – like, if you could have canned that air, you could have used it as a chemical weapon. the funk was palpable.
We like to call our perfume Mal de Con.
Yes. So again, hygiene.
Another thing that the new portable air conditioners have saved us from. It used to be when you walk down that hallway where Derby is.
Gamer funk.
The gaming room would overflow. I'm not smelling that this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yay.
No gamer funk.
The gamers will only be funky on the dance floor. No.
I'm very surprised that not a lot of people have taken up the challenge of the scavenger hunt, because I've actually seen quite a few people outside of myself have the list.
Yep.
or have the resources around them. Like, if any of you are following, you're at the Galley Table Podcast, so you should probably be taking your pictures.
Yep. There's a guy with a kilt back there who has his legs spread wide open.
And it's a Udena kilt.
So, and for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, we have a table in the dealer's room. You can win all kinds of free stuff if you fill out the – if you take pictures of the stuff that's on the flyer.
Up to 15
yes, sir.
Items.
I actually need to have a ruling on one of these.
Okay.
Please. And time's not done yet.
No.
I couldn't find a tribble, but in my hunt for tribbles, I came across syphilis.
You should see some more about that.
Yeah. I actually,
where you found the syphilis?
I gave that.
Excuse me, my dear.
She's about to show you her tribble. Her tribble.
Triple, oh my goodness. Three, there you go.
You are not Klingon.
No, no.
I am Klingon.
No, you're not.
Bridges are not, I am always Klingon.
Kiss the triple.
The dog is kissing the triple.
There we go.
There's a bowl. Okay.
Wait, get back there.
Do it. It's a top hat. It has to be a
so
top
that's
hat.
Not a top
the
hat.
Top hat was later. But
where does the beard begin and the triple end?
That's a lot.
Velcro.
There we go. And wait. Cool boots.
Yes.
Oh.
Fantastic boots.
Yep.
Boots.
I did have the fantastic boots on yesterday and the day before, but it hurt.
Man, I saw some truly fantastic boots earlier this weekend.
Yes.
So yeah, there's
go see the masquerade people or the anime people. They have some fancy boots. And yes, there is another woman other than me that has a corset.
So any.
But now I can tell people I put my lips on your tribble.
You said tribble is that it is my brother's.
Oh, so you actually put it on his brother's tribble.
Oh dear.
Epic fail.
I like my version better.
Yeah.
I'll bet you do.
Possession is 9/10 of the law. So does anybody else have a less than positive con? Yes,
yes,
sir, Mr. McCumber.
Usually my bad experiences start when I'm leaving. And that con crowd settles in. Because I know when I left home last year, I had about 2 weeks of strep throat that I know I got from some sick bastard.
Yes.
His name was Chris Lester.
That's what you get for...
Yes, actually. It was. He was hospitalized.
Yes.
That's what you get for tongue-kissing Chris Lester.
Yeah.
You gotta jump on it when you can.
That's true.
I'm taking vitamins for weeks just so I don't get that.
Yep.
Did you go home sounding like James Durham, too?
Now, I can relate to that because I also got the con crud from Chris Lester last year. But while I wasn't feeling bad, my voice dropped a couple registers, and I had the fun of going to the Dirty Mad Libs panel
with Mary White voice.
Yes. And that was an interesting experience in itself.
So I got to read salacious Mad Libs. Suggestively with the Barry White voice.
I had
Laura crawl onto my lap. That was a good one.
I had to see what he was reading, and I actually, the best thing that happened during that whole experience, other than...
Well, let's not talk about that, dear.
Well, other than Scott Sigler yelling out his noun, sheep! the other best thing was, like, I said halfway through, I need a drink, and 10 minutes later, one appeared. And I said, ooh. And now he's taking my rum. That is a crime.
That's rum.
You should.
There be pirates here, my ass.
But I went home from Balticon last year with the con crud in my throat, and I was like out for another week and a half just recovering from that. Everyone else is going home and talking about all the great ideas and the inspiration they've got and all this new writing they're doing, and I'm there just like,
I feel like death microwaved.
I don't get the... I have a pretty stout immune system, but so I don't usually get the con crud, or if I do, it goes away pretty quick. But...
They're all stealing my rum.
I get the con crashed, the emotional sort of...
That's because it's tasty rum.
Because this is, you know, 72, 96 hours of just solid community and energy and boom, boom, boom. And then you go back to your day job and your kids and your regular life and that can be hard.
Yeah, I was talking to a cynical woman earlier today, and she was talking about all the connections that she's making here and all the people she's talking to. And Monday she goes home, and Tuesday she goes back to work, which she works from home. So it's like all this social interaction, all this interaction, all this stimulation, and Tuesday she's just by herself, and it's like worst con crash ever type thing.
It's not a podcast if the phone doesn't ring at some point.
Really?
Yeah. Well, at least it's not my phone making Star Trek noises like it usually does during our podcasts.
Yes. Nice. And we have no dogs barking in the background. So.
No, my dogs are not barking.
Darking?
Darking. Yes. Darking. Let me have some more.
Behold the dark dogs.
In the background.
Turn the lights on and be
so how so dogs. So how you know how do we deal with the con crash? We can
go
we can.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
Pictures on Flickr.
Oh God, yes.
Oh yeah.
YouTube
yeah.
videos.
Start tagging.
Yeah, start tagging just pictures. Start tagging. That's
so,
one way.
So is there anybody here who this is your first BaltCon?
Yay!
Yay! Yes, you are welcome.
Her hair is still purple from the dark and stormy party. I'm wicked happy about that.
Now, are you guys coming back next year?
Yes, definitely.
Yes, he is. Nice. He doesn't have a choice. I will tie him to the top of the car.
Kinky.
So that's how they do things in New Hampshire. So if I may put you on the spot, what is your highlight for this weekend?
It's been really great just meeting a lot of new people, and everybody's been really welcoming. I haven't met a single person who was like, why are you here?
Who the hell are you?
I don't want to talk to you. No, every single person I've run into has been like, oh, okay, I'm so-and-so. Nice to meet you. What do you do? Well, I'm kind of here as a fan. Oh, that's great. We're so glad you're here. And it's been really positive. Every place I go is just welcoming and a lot of fun.
And you went to some workshops, right?
And I've been to quite a few panels that interested me, and I'd definitely come back for those. Definitely. Of course, it probably helped that the first night we were on site, we hosted a dark and stormy party.
Yeah.
People by handing them liquor. So
and got shut down and kicked out to the gazebo.
It's not a BaltCon party unless you get a call.
And Michelle.
Oh, Christina.
I'm sorry.
You lovely lady in the front row.
Thank you.
You're not Michelle.
What I've enjoyed is just when we first got here on Thursday night, a lot of people that I met, I listen to a few podcasts. I love science fiction and I love fantasy, so that it's a good combination for me to come here. But a lot of people I met on the first night, just seeing everybody in panels now, it's just how friendly everybody is. Because I've been to a bigger con before, like to Dragon Con, for instance, and you don't get that kind of personal experience at a larger con. I like that personal connection. And yesterday I got to talk to Gio. I talked to him before briefly, and then it was nice to see him again. He actually remembered me, too. I was like, oh, isn't that sweet? You know, I know he doesn't remember every detail, but he remembered to a degree, which was, it's just nice to know that you guys care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our audience is very important to us.
Yes. Yeah. Family reunion of the family you never met.
That's right. Yep. It's the family reunion you want to go to.
I'd rather be here than Dragon Con any day.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm afraid of Dragon Con because it's too damn big.
Yeah. I do want to go 1 year just to say that I have been.
Yeah.
I do want to go 1 year just to say that I have been.
So is DragonCon the Geeks Burning Man?
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so
if I win a Parsec.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I get to be a finalist for a Parsec Award, then I will think about going to Dragon Con.
Yeah,
but,
I was a finalist for Parsec.
Did you go to Dragon Con?
No.
That's why
I was
you lost.
At Harper's instead.
So we're closing up. We're closing in on the time.
Okay.
But before we go.
Random question.
Let's do a random question of the week. Let's see.
For those of you who are not familiar with the random question, this is the time in every galley table when a question is asked that has absolutely nothing to do with anything that has gone before.
If you could,
I get to answer it first.
If you could be any character from the original, Star Wars trilogy, the only Star Wars trilogy. Who would you be and why?
Under the Bus.
Oh, Han Solo. Hands down, Han Solo. Because who's scruffy looking? Han Solo is no nonsense. He's the one of the few characters that either knows what he's doing, or he at any point in the story he knows what his goal is. He doesn't have any questions, compunctions. You know, he's just trying to do a job, and then he's trying to help a guy out. But he just, I don't know, he's got that confidence. He reacts, and at the end of the trilogy, he ends up with a girl. So
very nice.
And he's not afraid to shoot first.
I would choose R2-D2, the sassiest little bot in the whole galaxy. He's fearless. You know, he goes through a lot of things and still comes out on top. He takes a lot of abuse, but he still, you know, trudges through the mud and the murk. And
he has a filthy mouth, too.
And he keeps
everything he's ever said has been bleak.
And he keeps probing those other computers.
So
that scene with opening the garbage thing, that was just dirty. There should have been sensor bars all over that.
Oh yeah. You know, there should have been sensors on that. And then in the next one, he probes the main computer in Cloud City. You know,
yeah. R2-D2 finds around. A new computer. He just sticks something in.
But yes, R2-D2, the sassiest, whorish droid out there.
Does she like to probe things?
She usually leaves that to me.
Ooh.
Mwah. So much for the
clean tech. I'll be in my box.
Oh, I think we have killed the clean tech.
He broke it. I didn't do it. He did it.
Yeah. First we break it, then we kill it.
I would be Lando Calrissian, the coolest man in the entire trilogy. Yeah, baby.
Cold 45, malt liquor, Lando Calrissian.
I'm black on the inside. but no, he really, you know, I love the sacrifice. You know, he was a bit sketchy, but he pulled out in the end and really showed his true colors. And
you and your filthy mouth.
Yeah. I really wish there had been more of him. Throughout the movie, but definitely Lando Calrissian. And if anybody answered Luke Skywalker, I would have to
pistol whip them.
You know,
but I want to go to Tashi Station get some power converters.
So
wait, but have you seen Robot Chicken?
Yes.
No.
Which
Tashi
one?
Station's power converters is Tashi Station is a strip club, and their headlining act is the power converter.
So before we go, we will give our panelists opportunity to pimp what they got to pimp, and I'm going to pimp out some of you guys. So go ahead.
I'm starting. So you can find all of my stuff by going to www.doccoleman.com, and there you will find links to the Nifty Tech blog, where I look at tech that makes your life easier and then gets out of the way. You can find the Shrinking Man Project, where I talk about my weight loss journey and ways that people sabotage themselves. And it's not just good for weight loss, it's good for any kind of other change you want to make in your life. And you can head on over to Swimming Cat Studios, where I talk about my writing, my voice work. And soon I will be talking about upcoming projects like Treasure Island and Taming of the Shrew, which I am taking over from Pirate's Cove, from Flying Island Press, because Jeff Haidt had too much stuff on his plate to do it. So now I'm going to be doing not just one, but two full cast audio dramas once I get back from Balticon and catch my breath.
Laura?
So you can find all of my updates and my work at gypsylaura.com. I am also doing a live audio drama of Stargazers, which the original show is on www.gypsyaudio.org. And, of course, I've got all my blogs for Please Pay Your Tribbles at flyingislandpress.com/flagship.
Very nice. I have a lot of fiction available at my podcast, which I just found out today. My promo got played on Sigler's cast today, so I'm pretty excited about that. I'm giving away 52 ebooks by 52 different authors throughout this year. Go to 52.scottroche.com. And, of course, flyingislandpress.com/flagship. Now, before I let you go, I must tell you a couple of things.
And actually, just...
Oh, Roche's Omniverse, which can be found at www.scottroche.com/omniverse.
And just because Zach Ricks has declared that the galley table is a bell-free zone and he's not here...
So before
don't like it, Zach, show up next time.
A couple of more quick things before we let you go. Justin McCumber, please stand up, sir.
Yay!
This man has a book that you need to go buy called Haywire. I just put up the... There it is.
Yes.
I just put up the review of that this weekend. Go to flyonpress.com and you'll see a link to the review. But just go ahead and buy the damn thing. And let's see, of course, we have Nookjus, who is a tremendous creator and podcaster in her own right. And, of course, I already pimped out James Keeling. So,
well, you didn't name Nookjus's podcasts.
The Nutty Bites.
Nutty Bites and Beyond the Wall.
Yep. And Beyond the Wall, yes.
Yep. Oh, I didn't realize you were part of that.
Oh, yeah.
She's part of Beyond the Wall.
I'm not actually on the panel if you read the program.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
And, of course, we have a couple of future podcasters in here as well. So
We have the Buffalo.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Hugh,
Buffalo,
yes. Yes.
Right. Hugh O'Donnell.
So lots of talent in this room. So I want to thank you guys for coming. Thank you for listening to The Galley Table, and we will see you next time at the galley table.
All right.
Bye.
So long, farewell, adios and good goo.
Good goo.
It's good goo.